Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
Yes, it is the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller and David Gascon. Here we are back in the Magic Podcast box yet again, 8 days a week. Happy Saturday, 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 Saturday. Because, hey, 4 hours a night in the overnight, not enough as we are in the air everywhere, bloviating. I want to thank Jason McIntyre who joined us yesterday. We are again, it's a weekend with Gascon, David Gascon, making his way into the new city. We're in a podcast-only studio this weekend, so it might sound a little different, but just bear with us. We're working out the kinks. And Gascon here, Jason McIntyre, big NBA guy, not a baseball guy. He's an NBA guy. He loves the NBA. And he's all about that action. And I enjoyed the conversation. It was good to talk to him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's passionate. I'm a little surprised, though, given the fact that he is a New York guy. I mean, he covers the bases with the Knicks and obviously the New York Jets. I'm a little surprised that he's not a baseball guy, like Yankees or Mets. And then, of course, on the ice with either the Rangers or the Islanders. But, you know, because New Yorkers and Bostonians, they cover the entire map when it comes to athletics. So I'm a little surprised there. We didn't get into college at all, but yeah, he's one of those dudes that lets it rip. And then obviously on the gambling side of things, he will lay down some action as well.
Yeah. See, he mentioned as a kid, he was born in New York and then he moved to Northern Virginia, like the DC area. If he had stayed in New York, I bet you he'd be a bigger baseball guy. Like New York's a baseball town. York City, it's a big baseball town, but he left there. And so it's not as big a thing. So anyway, on this podcast, we've got culinary arts. We've got that. Newsreel Maller. We'll get scientifical with study/survey this. And we also have, barring time, we'll have pop quiz as well. But I did want to start with the culinary arts. Gascon, I know you like to brag and you like to send out photos on social media about some of your conquests in the kitchen.
Yes.
That's west of the 405. I don't do it, but I cooked a mean Maller pizza. It was finger-licking good. It was so delicious that it was restaurant quality. I would compare it to the Kirkland brand pizza, which is the number one pizza available commercially. Just delightful. Just absolutely enticing. Fit for a king, the Maller pizza. But I didn't need to send out a photo to get people to say how great it is. So what's going through your mind here, Gascon? Like, is it possible for you to cook something and not send a photo out to try to get pats on the back and gold stars?
No, I think that you would agree with me that social media and its existence is for publishing content and for the me crowd. It's all about me, me, me. So part about being in the game is you got to play the game. And the only way to do that is to show off the skills that I do have. And one of them that's G-rated finds its way into the kitchen. And so your pizza, it might have been as good as a Kirkland brand pizza, but it's probably the cost of it that attracts so many people. Because as you would know, and you would agree with me on this, is that you don't go to Costco for A-plus quality food and content. You go there for the cost savings. You go there for the discounts. You go there for just the convenience that is. You are not going there to get a filet mignon and have it taste uber, uber sweet and sensitive.
You go there just
to get beef jerky. That's it. That is what your pizza is. It is beef jerky, and what I cook is filet mignon. That's
a lot
about that.
By the way, I mean, you're clearly embarrassing yourself with a lack of Costco knowledge, Gascon. Do you understand? You can get the finest foods that royalty right? Mm-hmm. The matriarchs eat, and it's at Costco. You just, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, you're looking at the tubs of mayonnaise and that kind of stuff, and you're not actually familiar with the inner workings of Costco. That's a bad job by you. Now, I'm excited that Costco's bringing back the samples, and I'm looking forward to that, although I guess it's not going to happen in California because King Newsom will not allow it, but no, listen, I mean, pump the brakes on you being, you know, God's gift to cooking. And as far as social media, I don't need to share everything, all right? I'm on there because of work, and I'm on there because, you know, obviously we've got fans, and I like to interact occasionally with the P1s. And I have some friends on there and all that, but I don't get paid to be on social media. I'm not paid to send out pictures of my pizza that I make. I don't know. Now, if you want me to be like, I'll have like a 405 weekend maybe where I'll be like you and I'll just randomly send out a bunch of stuff. I'm not there yet, but maybe you know, next weekend or something like that. I'm going to have a Gascon weekend and tweet out everything in my life.
That's fascinating because I do recall a certain individual that would actually show up. This is pre-COVID when people actually had the balls to actually drive to work, you included. You would actually drive to work, take a picture or two, and then post it on social media about certain individuals' parking alignments. So when you talk about putting everything out there, that is putting everything out there, a vehicle, a license plate number, a structure, and a coworker's parking habits. You did that, not anybody else that I can think of at Fox Sports Radio.
Well, again, that was not a dish that I made. That was not, hey, I'm walking on the beach, look at me today. That was not you. What you did was a criminal act, and it affected my ability to do my job. That was a gangster move. That was a goon move by you, Gascon. And since you were when you parked like that, you took up the Maller space. I had the front parking place there. That was my space. And you turned into human scum. Okay. And so you were the culprit. It was your car. And so I had to out you. I had to dox you. I had to expose you to hold up the honor of the radio show. And I must admit, Gascon, once I did that, your parking, it's improved because I don't go in there, so I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, you should join the New York Times or the USA Today news anchor desk so you can just dox people for some unknown reason or for reasons that go against what your beliefs and feelings are. You'd be perfect out there on the East Coast. That'd be fantastic. Yeah,
yeah.
So,
all right. Wait a minute. You who are lacking respect and dignity. All right. I recommend driver's education is what I recommend. Okay. They have a parking. You don't even have to take the full thing. I don't know how you drive on the highway. I'm not in the car with you. I have no idea. But your parking is morally bankrupt. Okay. So please figure that out, Gascon. Come on.
I will. In the meantime, I will continue to post food porn pictures because I must say it's nothing that's short of an A-. It is tremendous food. I do a great job in the kitchen. And there's more often than not people that are inspired by what I'm cooking because not only is it good, but it's healthy, it's timely, it's effective for the body. I'm doing all of this encompassing work for people where you is just hot take, LeBron this, LeBron that. And I'm here, I'm just trying to make the world a better place. Compared to what you do. So whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And you do not realize the first rule of business that if you have a product, right, you can't know the product is good unless the customer agrees. The customer is the one, the user of the product is the one that will determine whether or not it is a good product or not. And you're like, well, listen, you're misguided with your opinion there. The customer is always right, right? And you know, customer service, one thing that you're lacking, I know from your dealings with the Maller militia, is hospitality. Yeah. You're not exactly Tom Baudet from those old Motel 6 commercials, right? We'll leave the light on for you. You're not that. You're the opposite of that. You'll kick a guy in the nuts and you'll throw sand in their eyes. That's more how you are operating. And you, I understand you're bothered because you really do not have any Gascon sheep, Right? There's no kindred souls that are the Gascon groupies, we'll call them. Gascon groupies. You don't have that.
Yeah, I don't have lap dogs. I don't have sycophants. I don't have people that wash my balls and, you know, rub my back and, you know, lick my toes like you do. I agree. I have intellectual people that I communicate with. We have this two-way conversation. It's not me talking loud over people like some people I know on this podcast. So I'm not talking over or through people. I'm talking with people. That's the way that this thing goes. So I agree with you. That full-heartedly, I agree with it, because a lot of those people that are part of that Mallard militia are just the gunk on the bottom of my shoes. They're like plankton. They're like, you know, barnacles on the bottom of a ship. That's what they are. So that's fine. Now you're cooking back to your pizza. That's fine. Uh-huh. But you still have, you have an 18-month-old tomahawk in your fucking freezer. So how about you just take it out, put it in the oven, light that thing up for 425 degrees, you know, set it and let it sit for a bit.
Yeah. So I have a rule now that every time you bring up the tomahawk steak, I will delay the cooking process another like 2 weeks. Wow. So you're like a pawn in this game here. And every time you think you're being cute and all that, can you imagine, like, think about this. Listen, when you give a gift,
yeah,
you have, it's like releasing, you know, a bird. It's a, you're not expecting to find out how the bird does. The bird's going to go fly away and live the bird's life. It's not going to come back and nest at your house. And you have this misguided belief that you give a gift and then you are entitled. Typical west of the 405 maniac psychopath behavior here, that you are somehow entitled to find out how that gift is used. That is not the case. That is wrong. That is incorrect. I know you're, you know, Mr. Highbrow, elitist, west of the 405, you know, social climber, that kind of guy. Yeah. But no, once you have said bon voyage and hasta la vista and adios, arrivederci to the gift, that's it. You've let it go. You've let it be free, right? Let it spread its wings. And that's the case. Now, I will at some point make the steak. But again, every time you try to bust my balls, I will push it back. Right. And I'll, you know, say, nah, 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 nah. Hey, goodbye. That's how I'm going to do it. OK,
it's fine. If you were going to let things blossom as they are supposed to and spread their wings, if you will, you shouldn't have something morph into a rock. Because that's exactly what that thing has turned into.
No, small rock. That's a strong. I'm going to strongly disagree. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know where I'm storing the steak. You have no idea how the steak is being massaged. You don't know any of that. You're making assumptions here with your gobbledygook and your foolishness over there. And I promise you, the way I cook a steak, that thing can be in there for 10 years. And I am going to burn that thing so much. Burn, baby, burn. It is going to taste wonderful. Just like I like my steak. I know that bends your mind, but trust me, that's the way it's going to be.
It's embarrassing. That is absolutely embarrassing. What is, you have some, did you get any reviews back yet from your documentary moments last week? I know we had some people there.
No, I didn't get any reason. We got some crap. We had the reporter, the young reporter from BuzzFeed. She was on, and I want to thank you, Gascon. I got some crap. Chris in Houston called up and complained on the show.
Hey, he's a little pissed.
And then I had some email from people who were upset, and to me, that one blows me away. I mean, we always get attacked, you know, because we lean conservative and that, you know, how dare you? You know, this is a Republican arm podcast or something, which it's not. I mean, it's not. But I thought it was an interesting story. You ran it by me to have her on, the Dr. Fauci email story, which was a big news story. And it really affected everything. So we put her on. The kicker, though, I mean, I don't know her, but from what I read on the internet, she's a pretty liberal, you know, reporter for BuzzFeed, a liberal-leaning website. It's not like we had somebody on from Breitbart or anything like that. I mean, she's from a place that's a liberal place. She's in college, which by default, most people in college are indoctrinated into certain beliefs. And so, hey, I thought she was good. I enjoyed the conversation, but these guys are triggered by RIM. And it's stuff that triggers people.
I loved it.
Take a break, man.
Are you going to be able to read any of those responses to having her on, at least out loud to me or to the audience at all? Or
I don't have them in front of me right here, but yeah, I can give you some of the highlights there, because it's the same old it's like, I've listened to you for X number of years and I've always liked you, but now I can't because you did blank or you had blank on. I'm like, okay.
This is absolutely fantastic. And now the best part of it is that Dr. Fauci is now hiding behind the shield of science. So if you attack Dr. Fauci, you are anti-science. You are attacking science by attacking a doctor. I love it. That's how this game is played, though. As soon as you hide behind something, now you can claim victimhood. If there's any ounce of challenge coming your way, that's your retreat mechanism.
Yeah. Well, we've been through that during 2020. We talked about this, and you're supposed to follow the science and listen to the experts. Of course, the whole definition, if you know anything about science, science is just disagreements. It consists of people disagreeing with each other. That's science. Yeah. So it pretty much, when you say it's a cop out to say follow science, because I can find scientists that I will agree with who other scientists will disagree with and other people will follow them. So who's right? It's science is whatever fits your narrative, right? Yeah. Whatever your beliefs are, that's science. So it's a bull crap. It's nonsense is what it is. And yet people get away with it because it sounds like you know what you're talking about, right? Well, who would want to disagree with science? But again, it's, people only believe in, it's not only science, but it's doctors, yeah. Right? It's like, you're supposed to get a second opinion. If you get something you don't like from the doctor, you go to somebody else and you find the answer you're looking for. And that's how that works.
My biggest response or retort to what Chris in Houston did or didn't say, I didn't listen to that schmuck. But a message to him and anyone else that was complaining about it. Thank you for the download. That's all I care about. Thank you for clicking. Thank you for listening to a minute. Thanks for the download. And if you don't like it, piss off. That's my message.
I've noticed you have not exactly given a great thorough in the description. You've not always left it, everything in there. So sometimes people will download the podcast, not know exactly what's on the podcast. And it's actually pretty good because I do think in the podcast game, oftentimes people will download it or will not download it if they see a name or something like that they don't like. So you've avoided that. And so people have been caught in the rat trap where they just automatically download the podcast and then are surprised. It's like, what happened? I can't believe it. I would never download this podcast. But too late. The damage has been done.
Speaking of which, I know you mentioned this 2 weeks ago with a former girlfriend or woman that you dated. That listened or that had a boyfriend stumble upon the podcast. I actually had that happen to me a few days ago.
Not awkward? How awkward is that? To me, that was awkward. I'm an introvert, but that was awkward to me.
Yeah, it was a little awkward. I told her, I said, hey, don't ever listen to our shit ever again. She's awesome. She's a totally awesome woman. And, we had a great relationship, but when she turned it on, I was like, oh my God. I was like, turn it off.
Yeah. No, I it's been odd. I've heard from a few people over there. I mentioned the story in Denver. Randomly, somebody I dated like a couple of times went on a date with a guy. They were talking about podcasts and they mentioned our podcast, and that led to an awkward conversation. So there are some things like that. But I also wanted to mention my new Michigas this week. Call me Newsreel Maller, Gascon. Newsreel Maller. I fell down a rabbit hole this week, and it's the kind of thing that I occasionally will start watching This Week in Baseball. And it's nostalgia for me, and I'll flash back to when I was like 10, 11, 12 years old, and I watched that show religiously, and I learned about baseball from Mel Allen and Twip Notes and all that. But this one's a little different. So I was looking for something. I was looking for something I was going to use in a monologue, and I was surfing around YouTube, and I came across a link which led me to the Internet Archive of Universal Newsreels. Have you ever seen this? You
know what that is? What is that?
This is wild. So my dad told me stories about this. This is what actually led me down this path. When I saw the link, I was like, wait a minute, my dad told me about that. But in the days before television, people saw the news every week at the movie theater, right? They go to the local movie theater in the neighborhood or whatever, and newsreels were shown before every big Hollywood film, and you know, in dedicated at newsroom theaters in the major cities, you know, New York, Chicago, Boston. And this company, Universal Newsreel, this goes back from 1929. It stopped in 1967, but you know, they put all these, they've all been archived, and they're like little, you know, 2 to 6, 7, 8 minute videos. But it's amazing because it shows you like the news of the day, you know, Germany gives up in World War II and surrenders in World War II. And they have the video, you know, the video obviously was film, global events, politics, assassinations, sports. I look at that and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, you feel like you can flash back and imagine what it was like to sit in the movie theater, and this is how you're getting the news. And because most people just got their news from the newspaper. And I remember my dad had told me some of my favorites, by the way, Gaston. They had a farmer from 1933. This was on the newsreel, the Universal Newsreel, who played Yankee Doodle Dandy with his hands. And They made a whole a segment about this guy that played Yankee Doodle Dandy with his hands, some random farmer. There was one, 1958, the first U.S. satellite, you know, was launched. And think about, I was watching that, and I was like, well, they didn't know what was going to happen, you know, the space era. And think about 1958. Now, so 1957, there were no satellites. Mm-hmm. And think about what the world would be like now if you took about all the GPS and all the things that we use on satellites. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, this is rad. This is really some old school stuff. Now, quick question for you. In this newsreel website, will we find an archived trending report or update with Steve DeSager in it?
Are you saying Steve has been around since the 1920s? Is that
I think that's kind of also dates back to when Wrong Button Bob torpedoed your show, and then they had to play Steve on a loop, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We should have brought that up to Jason McIntyre yesterday, but yeah, Wrong Button Bob. I think I told him that story when we hung out at a golf thing a couple of years ago, but yeah, that's one of the all-time great stories. The fact that Bob Guerra shut the entire network off and didn't lose his job. I told him, I said, can you reset my computer? He said, yeah, I'll go. So he had to go in the back where all the computers are for the network. And he went back there, and sure enough, he hit the – and I don't think he could do it again. There's some button there that will shut the entire network, 400, 600, whatever it is, radio stations, satellite radio, iHeart radio, will shut the entire thing off. And he did it. It's amazing. Absolutely.
And then, so, then, yeah, so then it was Steve DeSager, right? He had like an update that was just
So we found out in a nuclear situation what would happen. And yeah, they had put together a tape of some old show. It was like 4 or 5 years prior to that. And then maybe even longer before that. And it was him talking about the NCAA tournament, and he was giving college basketball scores. So, and it wasn't even college basketball season. See, what we should do, and I should go to management, we should make like an evergreen type generic, you know, hour to put on, right? Which could be like, you know, those timeless sports debates.
Yeah.
Which
Brady Montana, LeBron Jordan.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, would you rather be Trent Dilfer, have Trent Dilfer's career or Dan Marino?
Right.
Because right? Dilfer won a Super Bowl. That's always an old, played out, tired sports debate. Or we could do the Mount Rushmore, which you made famous, Gascon. The Mount Rushmores of sports, you know.
Is it Belichick or Brady?
Yeah, Belichick, Brady. Or would you go Montana and Walsh mixed in with Steve Young? As like the third person in. So yeah, those kind of things. But yeah, this, I recommend it if you're looking, if you're a little bit of a fan of history and you're, to me, it's pretty cool. It's look it up. It's Internet Archive, Universal Newsreels. They also had one, the New York City Newsreel, the Wonder City from 1939. That was before World War II. And I sent that to my brother who's lived in Manhattan for 25 years or whatever it is now. So I sent that to him to check out because it was pretty cool. I mean, many of those streets, like the big buildings are the same, but everything else, my God.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now, 1959, Castro Triumphs.
Yeah, that's what, aren't these great? Yeah, and the cool thing is they're not that long, so you can get through a lot of them. And there was one, President Truman, I said this, he officially proclaims Germany submits unconditional surrender to General Eisenhower, and they have the video. There was one, highlights of the year 1961, John Fitzgerald Kennedy sworn in as the 35th president. Russia, the race to space with Russia successfully orbiting a man in the U.S., trying to get up there, the whole Sputnik thing. So it was really cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
These are things I heard about, but I wasn't alive for that stuff. And it's kind of cool. That was how people got the news. And it also, and maybe I'm wrong, Gascon, but it wasn't as slanted to Team Red or Team Blue. It seemed like they played it down the middle, but maybe that was just my perception of how they gave the news in the 1930s and 40s and 50s.
Yeah, it's everyone doesn't have their hands in someone else's pocket, and you know, like they did, like they do now. So, I think the game's played a little bit differently, but that's for a different day and a different conversation. Third rail,
third rail, my man. Come on, all right, let's move on. Let's get scientifical here. So, here's a fun one, Gascon. Laughing gas. They have now determined can relieve symptoms quickly for people that are suffering from depression. But that, need a little laughing gas. Researchers from the Washington University School of Medicine, this is in St. Louis, they claim that small doses of, nitrous oxide, right? Isn't that the actual name of laughing gas? It's a colorless gas. And they've determined that this rapidly has improved the symptoms of depression in one session. Right? They mix oxygen and nitrous oxide, which is laughing gas, and people have the mental health problems that people have. That's it. They're good.
Have you ever had laughing gas?
I have not had. You?
No, never, never.
Now, should they give this to Naomi Osaka, the tennis player who's a fraud? Should they give it to her?
I don't know. That's the third rail, my man.
Well, no, it's not even the third rail. I mean, she's been exposed as a fraud. She said she has mental illness. She couldn't talk to the media. You saw the story. I mentioned it on the radio show kind of in passing. But the final match at the French Open before she quit and said she couldn't handle it because she had to talk to the media. After that match, which she won at the French Open, she was interviewed by Wow Wow, a Japanese broadcast company. The reason she did the interview, they paid her. So as long as you pay her, she apparently the mental illness goes away. So what a fraud. How could people defend her? I mean, she's exposed. Her own words, she can't deal with the media because, you know, she gets triggered and all that. And she's got all these conditions. There she is talking to a Japanese media company because they cut her a check.
Well, I do applaud Roland Garros and obviously the French Open, Wimbledon, Australian Open, U.S. Open for taking the stance. Hey, if you're not going to participate in our mandated activities, then you will not be participating on the court or the clay. So I'm down for that. I mean, it's about time, right? Like, you have certain leagues now, at least here in the National Football League, the NBA, Major League Baseball, even the NHL, that have allowed players to do different things prior to, you know, game getting underway that takes away from the actual action. Tennis is not allowing that to happen.
Yeah, well, but keep in mind, though, after they gave the terse statement initially, they did walk it back a little.
Yeah.
They like, so I hope you're right, but it's kind of like the people that stand up to the mob and then back down a couple days later.
You know, yeah. You know, it's like, when the cameras aren't on them anymore, yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're doing study this. Let's get scientific. Study out suggests that dreams may use memories to predict the future.
Oh, man, that's not good.
Yeah, a new study is offering up, they claim, compelling evidence that dreams are a way for our minds to look back at what has happened and then predict the future, that your mind is predicting future outcomes. According to the findings, dreams result from a process that combines various memories from past experiences while anticipating how future events may unfold. Now, I am not a dreamer, Gascon. I don't get into a deep enough state of sleep unless I use a sleep aid. My wife is an epic, she is an epic dreamer, and she remembers everything. She tells me about her dreams. Even when I dream, like most people, I'll forget my dreams like 5 minutes after I wake up. Are you a dreamer?
Yeah, I dream a lot. I do. I dream a lot, and I hate the fact that when I dream, sometimes I wake up and I get pissed off. I'm in a bad mood because something happened in the dream that set me off. So first thing I do is I wake up and I'm just in a bad mood. Like, why did I dream about that at this point? So, but yeah, I dream a lot.
Yeah. The dreams I remember most are usually the ones which lead me to have to get up to go to the bathroom, you know, like, cause it has that. I'll be like, oh man, you wake up, you're like, oh, okay, I better go to the powder room there. All right. How about this one? Dog's life for me, the headline on this, and most Americans, this is for most Americans, man's best friend is the number one priority out of 10 Americans. How many out of 10 Americans admit they take better care of their pet than themselves?
I'd say 8 out of 10.
It's close. Almost 7 out of 10. Oh, almost gosh. 7 out of 10. This is a survey conducted by the National Pet Appreciation People. Who the hell are they? I don't know. Wow. But it was done here in June. And they said 67% prioritize their pet's well-being over their own.
Wow, that's impressive.
Well, yeah, I love Bella, but yeah, I don't know that I take better care of Bella than me, my dog, but you know, she's treated pretty well.
She's treated like royalty.
All right, algae outfit. Well, algae, you know, you go to the pond or the lake, or it's disgusting. It's that green, nasty stuff. Well, scientists now have determined that we soon may be wearing clothes made out of that bright green ooze of algae. Oof. And they've actually done this with 3D printing technology. They were able to create clothing made from algae.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
I guess they're still testing it to see whether or not it will last and you can wash it and all those kind of things.
We can get a big Ben Maller algae jumpsuit. How about that? But
well, you've said off the air that you think the Maller militia is filled with algae. So, you know, you've made those comments.
I said
comments.
Plankton. Yeah, a little plankton, some barnacles.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's one. Back from the dead. It's like a horror movie. This is odd water animal from – this goes back to the time that mammoths – were roaming the earth, and it has been brought back to life. It was buried in the permafrost of Siberia for 24,000 years. Think about that, 24,000 years. And scientists have recently been able to bring it back. They obviously through the magical advances in technology, it was in a state of suspended animation, in that permafrost. And it's known as the Arctic rotifer, I believe is how they said it there. And it's not very big. It's less than a millimeter. The reason I'm bringing this up, Gascon, this is a major breakthrough in the science community. And it is leading some to be convinced that we are getting closer and closer to being able to make Jurassic Park a real thing. That we could bring back dinosaurs and woolly mammoths and prehistoric beasts. The woolly mammoth, the saber-toothed cat, even eventually human beings. Now, you wouldn't be the same. So I don't think you can bring back human beings, right? Because I think we are really based on our life experience.
Yeah.
You could bring back the genetic makeup of the person, but we are all a result of every decision we've made in our youth. We are all a result of our friends, our family, the people around us. That's what makes people. And so you could create a DNA profile which is the same, but it doesn't mean that you're going to have that person. You will not have the same person. But anyway, this is kind of cool. They've discovered the mechanism that protects the cells and organs from disintegration. So they think this might be used as well to prolong life. So that's pretty cool.
I did see USC had published last week a release on a new drug that they're using to battle against Alzheimer's. I don't know if you saw that, but it is fascinating to see the evolution and obviously the continuance of discovery. But man, you're playing God though if you're looking to toy with, I mean, not cloning, but in a sense it is cloning, right? If you're trying to duplicate a species, whether it's an animal or a human being, that's a different game, man.
That's what's known as Pandora's box, I believe. Yeah. Would be what that's known as. The thing too, though, I'm kind of a conspiracy guy on this. Like, I think this is already going on in China.
Yeah.
Where they don't have morality laws like we have in the United States. So I would not be shocked if this stuff is already taking place in laboratories, Frankenstein's laboratory around the world in certain countries that are less worried about, you know, people being triggered and hurt and not concerned about their standing in society. And heck, you know, the legend that Yao Ming, the NBA player, was a creation of the Chinese government, right? That they genetically engineered Yao Ming to be taller than everyone else, and they created this very good basketball player before he got hurt.
Yeah. Well, don't forget,
I don't know if I'd buy that, but that's been out there. That rumor, that's been out there.
Don't forget, Elon Musk's other company, Neuralink, they want to put a microchip in your brain. And they think that would be able to fight off things like Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's cool. I always am skeptical. I know when my mom was going through cancer and all that, I'd get all excited because there'd be some study out of Israel that they're close to figuring out how to, you know, stop. It turned out it was not accurate. It was just bullshit. Yeah. But all right, we've got time for a few pop quiz questions, not the full Monty. We'll have an additional pop quiz next week. But here we go. A new survey asking Americans what they cut back on when they start dieting. More than 40% of people claim this is the first thing they cut back on when they start dieting.
There's two guesses I have. I'll go with soft drinks.
That's what I did, but that's not the answer.
Bread?
I cut out. No, it's actually fast food.
Oh, all right.
No Mickey D's, no Burger King, none of that. No Wendy's.
I forgot to tell you, and I'm happy you brought that up. I went to In-N-Out the other night, and I don't know if you do this or have.
Congratulations.
I went to In-N-Out the other night in out in like Hacienda Heights. This is like off like the 60 freeway or whatever. And
that's east of the 405.
Yeah. I ate on my way home. So I was driving and eating at the same time. Ben, I left the wrappers and the bag in my car overnight. So that aroma from the In-N-Out, it was just fresh on my mind the first thing the next day when I got into my car. Have you ever done that? Or is that like, or is that psychotic?
No, I have done it. Although recently, usually it's, you know, I'll point the finger at the wife, that my wife will leave something in the car. But see, then to me, the In-N-Out smell is wonderful. So it's like a nice car scent. But then the problem is you then want to go right back to In-N-Out and get more In-N-Out. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But that smell is very strong. I made a rare exception. I ate at Five Guys this week. I hadn't eaten there in a while. I saw a YouTube video, and it, for some reason, it got me thinking about Five Guys. And so I went and went to Five Guys. But it sucks. It's not the same. Because they don't have the peanuts right now because of the COVID. So they won't let you eat the peanuts. And that, to me, that's part of the full Five Guys experience. I'll sit down, I'll eat a whole cup of peanuts, and then I'll eat the burger. Can't do that right now.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
All right, when it comes to their health, about half of Americans never do this, even though they know they should. We're all told to do this, but people don't do it.
Drink water.
No, it's get a second opinion.
Oh.
Get a second opinion.
Man, second opinions are expensive, man. I told you what I went through with my ear issue last year. And
you went to San Diego. You had to go to San Diego to see a doctor, right?
I went to a neurologist. I went to my regular physician. I went to an ENT, and none of them had the answer. I ordered my own MRI, and then I went back to those same guys, and they were like, oh, there's the issue. Like, there's the problem. We should have seen this before. And so I was fortunate. I contacted my insurance company, and they wiped out all those additional expenses to see those specialists. But yeah, it's fucking expensive. And I don't know if you saw this the other day, but inflation has been skyrocketing. I think it's equal to what happened in like 2008 or 2009. So yeah, that's not helping either.
No, it's not. All right. A new survey says men are twice as likely as women are to not use this product as often as experts say we all should. What product is it?
Deodorant.
Something related to the summer.
Oh, sunscreen.
Yeah, sunscreen. Yeah, people don't. Yeah, I need to. But I wear a swim shirt. I'm an overnight, like, pasty white guy. I need to cover up as much skin as I can cover up. I would like to wear a burqa in the pool when I go in the pool. It's bad, man. And my hair, I got to wear like a bandana. I'm like a pirate when I go in the water because if I don't wear a bandana, I get a burn on the top of my head.
Your lobster.
And I don't get a lot of sun doing the overnight. So I have to, I have to cover up a lot of stuff or else I'm in trouble.
Yeah. You got to slowly, gradually get your way into the sun. Like if you came out here, I could show you a couple places. There's this city called Hermosa Beach in Manhattan Beach. It's on this nice little coastline next to the Pacific Coast Highway. You can just walk or run or whatever you want. It's really, really nice. Beautiful people there. It's a wonderful adventure.
If I go to a beach, it'll be like Laguna or somewhere like that, because there's no 405 freeway. The 405 freeway ends in Irvine. Oh, Laguna Beach is south of Irvine, so I'll go there. That'll be my move.
I went to the city of Tustin the other night. I had to go.
What? Yeah. That's my old stomping grounds, Irvine, Tustin, that area. Man,
I called a championship lacrosse match on Tuesday night. Ben,
who was playing? Who was playing?
It was Foothill and Loyola.
The Tillers? The
Tillers, yeah.
I played against them in high school football.
Dude, the first thing I thought when I got down there is I thought, wow, I didn't realize this many people love lacrosse. And then two, if I lived in this area, I'd probably be married and divorced at least three times. It is unbelievable.
A lot of lottery picks, a lot of first round picks.
Yeah, high Division ceiling, One, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, my man.
It's a target-rich environment, as they would say in Top Gun.
Well, as a friend told me years ago, you can window shop, but don't touch.
Were you in Amsterdam for that?
Which is a lesson, actually, Deshaun Watson probably should have followed. But anyway, your guy, Deshaun Watson. Yeah. All right, I'll do a couple more because of time restraints. It has happened that men who do this competitively, this activity competitively, can lose about 10 pounds during a 10-day tournament. What is this activity?
I'm gonna say something off the beaten path. I'm gonna say bocce ball.
No. Want another guess? This is something you would not associate with weight loss.
Arm wrestling.
No. Chess.
Oh, wow. Really? Chess?
Why would you lose weight playing chess? It doesn't make any sense. I guess you just don't eat because those things go a long time. Is that why?
Yeah, but you're in such a static position. I don't know. I don't get that. Your metabolism isn't racing. You're sitting. Yeah, I don't get that. Wow, 10 days? Huh.
All right, a survey, this will be the last one. A survey asked Americans to name something that puts them in a bad mood in the morning. This was the most common answer. What is it?
Spouse.
Wow, that sounds like a guy that will never be married. No, the answer is spilling food. Yeah?
All right, go ahead. Spilling what?
Spilling food or drinks on your clothes in the morning. You know, you're getting your cup of coffee and you spill some and you got to change, or else the whole day you're going to have a stain on your outfit. I get that. I understand that.
I think the only time I get pissed off in the morning is whenever I hear the garbage man and his horn or his like sounder, like the beep goes off, and it's before I'm supposed to wake up.
Yeah, that's well, some of us that work overnight, Gascon, have this phobia where, like, the gardener comes over to your house and decides to use that air blower.
Yeah, the blower.
At 11 in the morning when you've just gone to bed at, 8 in the morning and, you're only 3 hours in. And then not that this is hardship. It's not, but it's hard to really sleep with all that racket and all that stuff. So
yeah, you need soundproof windows and obviously lightproof blinds too.
Yeah, I've got a lot of that stuff over the years. I have acquired a number of those things, so I do have that. But still, it doesn't necessarily work all the time. But that's it, Gascon. There it is, the Saturday podcast. In the bank, we've got the mailbag on Sunday coming your way. So we thank you. Don't forget cameo.com as well. Cameo.com. Father's Day is coming up here. You want to have a shout out for dad or whatever. We're here to please. Whatever you want there. Check us out on – we're both on Cameo. You can have Gascon do awkward things, which many people have on Cameo. I think that's pretty much all the cameos you've got is people making you do awkward things you don't want to do, like praising me.
Yeah, it's a little awkward, especially since you have a lot of men that do that for you already.
Wow. All right. Listen, have a great Saturday. We will be back in the Magic Podcast Box on Sunday. We'll catch you then.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.